Appreciate prayer.
This morning I want to begin by turning to two verses of scripture that's found in the Hebrew letter in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29. If I am able to preach what's on my heart and on my mind this morning, still would be along the vein of thoughts and lessons that we have been engaged in for the last two Sundays. And I trust that the Lord would help us this morning as we go further in some other additional thoughts along these lines, and more so continuous of the loveliness and of the beauty of the house of the Lord. But I wanted to read these two verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now that first expression there tells us two things. That expression tells us that the gospel kingdom has come. This is in the past tense. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom. It's been received. The Lord gave this kingdom, and the very first ones of it was the apostles. He gave first unto the church the apostles. And he gave them for their designated work. And the Lord established and set up his kingdom while he was here. And the Lord gave this unto them, and the Lord said to them, apostles, as my Father hath given unto me a kingdom, so give I unto you. So I contend this morning that the kingdom came, the kingdom is here, the gospel kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is ruling and reigning as king. And I also submit unto you that the house of the Lord is established. The New Testament gospel church, the house of the Lord, the spiritual experience of the kingdom of God is established and set forth unto us in the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom. And then the second thing this expression tells us is that this kingdom cannot be moved. This kingdom that has been given, that was given some 2,000 years ago, that was given when Jesus came, when the Word was made flesh, when the Son of God came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and he established and set up his kingdom and established the house of God, the New Testament order of the house of God and the true worship of God, that it will never cease. It will never end. There will not be anything else after this period of time. There was a period of time that began. There was a period of time that closed out. Amen. With the coming of Jesus Christ, and there was a period of time that began. And the scriptures are very plain concerning upon this. And I don't believe, and I don't see from scripture, where there will be another period. The Bible tells us that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I don't believe the fulfilling of the times of the Gentiles will be until the ending, the closing of this period that we are in now, and it will be in the consummation of the closing out of time when the end comes. There won't be another period of time after this period of time, amen, of the gospel church as the Lord established and set up, and as it became primarily by the end of the first century a Gentile church. The Lord will never reestablish. And notice I said reestablish. The Lord will never reestablish the old order of worship under the old economy, under the Old Testament. I can't see from the scripture where it will ever be reestablished. I tell you, amen, we have all that those animal sacrifices typified, all that they signified, all that they symbolized, all the types and shadows was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and there's no going back. There's no going back, brothers and sisters. Amen. We are in the enlightened, illuminated period of time of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the Lord is the light, and His gospel is light and illumination by His divine Spirit. For wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now, what does He say with it? Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably.
Yeah.
This is the focus. In light of what I've just said, in light of what the apostle has just wrote above this and these expressions and the sense of it that I've just tried to express, amen, here is our part. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. That's like a prayer. Amen. The writer is writing there. God, give us this grace. God, help us to have this grace that we may serve Thee in an acceptable way with reverence and godly fear. I tell you, just as under the old economy, just as under the old house of God, the old system of worship, they approach with great fear. They approach with great respect and regard for the true and living God. And even so it is now with the house of God. Amen. The kingdom of the Lord. The New Testament order that is established and set forth. That we may serve God acceptably. I tell you, the only service that is approved in the sight of God is acceptable. Amen. Acceptable service. To serve Him acceptably. That teaches me that just anything won't do. Just any old way won't do. Brothers and sisters, let us never be deceived. Let us never compromise that stand. Never, God help us not to fall in the snare and into the ditch of compromise. And for whatever reason, to alter or try to alter or build on a new room or a new addition to the house of God.
Amen.
It just won't work.
Amen.
It just won't work. That we may, whereby all this grace, this divine influence of God, amen, this great favor, heartfelt presence of God, oh, whereby He gives us the strength and the help, amen, to see the beauty of His house, to see the loveliness, amen, of the kingdom that He has established in the top of the mountain, that He has set forth, the order thereof, and that this kingdom that will not be moved and will not be given to another.
Yeah.
As the Bible teaches us, many kingdoms have risen, and many kingdoms have fallen. Many have come and many have gone.
Yeah.
But this kingdom for 2,000 years now, God has been the preserver. God has been the keeper. Jesus Christ is the King and Lord of Lords. And this kingdom will not pass from the earth until the finality, until the very end. And this kingdom of the Son of God, having conquered all enemies, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And this temporal kingdom, this gospel kingdom, amen, that our Lord, King and King over all of His elect, amen, He will, it will be received up into that eternal kingdom and will never end, will never cease in the glory world. But while we live here, amen, I tell you, the kingdom is still with us. And as they receive the kingdom, and as we acknowledge as we by faith, as we through faith, as we press against the flesh, the world, and the devil to enjoy the blessings and the benefit of the kingdom of God by humbling ourselves and serving God acceptably in an acceptable manner that is pleasing unto Him, that is pleasing in His sight. And we must never compromise that. We must never let that down. We must never trade that off. Oh, we're to buy the truth and sell it not. We're to embrace, we're to prize, amen, the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, amen, concerning all that it teaches. But and of course, in the particular subject matter that we're speaking of this morning, but oh, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Why? Why verse 28? Because verse 29 tells us, for our God is a consuming fire. God is a jealous God. God is a God that demands, amen, that His people serve Him acceptably in order to be accepted in a temporal sense, in a gospel sense, to be accepted of Him. I'm glad that all the elect of God are accepted in the beloved and were accepted before the foundation of the world. Amen. And they'll never be unaccepted. But I tell you, there's been a lot of quote-unquote churches, amen, of congregations that have been unchurched by the Lord. Amen. The candlestick has been removed, and many didn't even know it, just continuing on from memory and just through habit and just through a having a form of godliness, but denying it or not having the power thereof. Well, I tell you, you can go through a ritual and you can go through a form, but that's different than having the power of God and the gospel coming unto God's people in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. I would say to all Baptists this morning, we've got to have the Spirit of God. We don't have the bells and thrills, and we don't want them, and we don't need them, but we have nothing whereby to populate our houses of worship. There is much competition out here with the charms of the flesh and catering to the fleshly senses and the entertainments that men use as a substitute for the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you, Baal and his crowd, they can do it so much better anyway. Oh, what we've got to have, amen, is the unction of the Spirit and the stirring and moving of the Spirit of God and the heartfelt presence of God, whereby, amen, these are not dead ordinances, whereby they are not that which is void and empty, but that which is full, and man, that which fills us up, and whereby we serve God acceptably, and not just through a ritual, not just through a form, but by and through the Spirit of God. Amen. For God seeketh such to worship Him, the true worshipers of the house of God. Amen. It's those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Both are important. And it takes both spirit and in truth, amen, in order to worship God. We have been studying on these lessons, and we were in Psalm 84. And this morning my thoughts are more primarily toward the house of God. And of course, two Sundays ago, it was the valley of Rephaim and David fighting the Philistines and the delivering power of God, whereby they passing through that valley of weeping in order to get to Jerusalem, to conquer the Jebusites and to take Jerusalem and make it the capital city. Jerusalem, amen, is the place where God chose to set His name and to make his presence known. It was the center. It became the hub of the old center of worship in the Jewish economy, centered around that of Jerusalem. They were always trying to go up to Jerusalem. They were called to go to Jerusalem several times a year. Amen. To go and whatever the journey, the pilgrim's journey that they had to make, whatever the difficulties, whatever the hard trials that they faced and encountered, but it was always a going up to Jerusalem. You know, think about as the Lord taught the lesson and said that there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. There was a man that went down from Jerusalem. As I said to you last Sunday, amen, concerning Jerusalem, the scriptures, it's always a going up. It's always a pressing upward. For Jerusalem is situated, it's elevated up, amen, and high above the valleys, in that valley of Rephaim, there in 2 Samuel, where we took the lesson from of King David, fighting the Philistines, and God moving in the tops of the mulberry bushes, the baca shrubs, and the baca shrubs, and how that God gave the victory and said, when you hear the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, you know the Lord has gone out before you, and then you are to move. You are to get up and to go. And so there was the effort that had to be made, and in a way of obedience that had to be performed. But it was a hard route to go up to Jerusalem. In order to go up to the spiritual experience and to go up to the house of God, amen, it is always a pressing. It is an enduring in order to do so. And it is a way of weeping for God's obedient children as we weep our way through this low ground of sin and sorrow and suffering. You know, baca is actually a symbolic, and it's a symbolic word, amen, that typifies any place of hardship, any place of ruggedness, any place of pressing and toll that you encounter to go through. And of course, it's considered in a way of a valley. And that's in verse 6 there of 84, Psalm 84, who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well. The rain also filled the pools. We talked about a good bit of verse 1. How angleable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How beautiful are thy tabernacles. How lovely. And as the songwriter said, how lovely is the place where the Savior appears. I tell you, where the Savior will show forth his smiling face. And it is in a special way. It is in a designated way. It is in a purposeful way, amen, that God has so designed and ordained to meet his disciples, amen, baptized believers, amen, and friends of the gospel church, in the assembly of God's people coming together, where the Lord will most show his smiling face, where we will most be able to see him, even if just through the lattice, but to behold him. Now we can get glimpses, and we can, and not taking away anything from your personal devotion or personal prayers, and out away from the assembly. But brothers and sisters, I believe if you'll be honest in your heart and think upon it, you would have to agree with me, amen, that the most blessed place, the most blessed time is in the assembly of the house of God. The assembly in a place in the house of God comes together. Amen. The house that Jesus built. Amen. Lively stones, regenerated individuals. Amen. Walking in a way of obedience, honoring the King of Kings, acknowledging him as King of Kings, singing his praises, praying unto him, openly confessing and preaching and declaring his word. Amen. Well, I tell you, he most delightfully appears and shows himself as nowhere else. I believe that. Amen. It's nowhere else. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean that you can't feel him. Amen. Anywhere else you might be. Amen. Or in your secret closet in prayer. Not saying that at all. But I'm saying the most designated place. Amen. The most purposeful place that he has so purposed and ordained. Amen. As God has set forth and given, amen, the gospel kingdom, the New Testament order, the house of God, amen, which is just part of the overall kingdom of God. Amen. But I tell you, it is the most, to me, it is the most important part. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful and trust and trust that I'm embraced in that number, that he is king over all. Amen. I tell you, Christ is king and Lord of lords over all creation.
Yeah.
Amen. But there are different aspects and different phases of this kingdom. But in the very hub of it, in the very center of it, just like Jerusalem was the hub, just like Jerusalem was the center, amen, of Israel. Oh, and they had their holy convocations. They had their holy feast days. And there was the time of once a year, of the special day of atonement, and other times when they would come to Jerusalem. Oh, it was there that God would meet. I tell you, on the day of atonement with the high priest in the holies of holies, when the Lord came down in that thick smoke and he met him between the cherubims. Oh, it was like no other time. Oh, when the high priest was accepted and he went forth bearing blood and the atonement was made and the people rejoiced when the high priest came out. Amen. For therefore, knowing that God had accepted that sacrifice that had been made. But they were there. They were congregated there at Jerusalem. It was that hub. It was that center. Now I tell you, the gospel church is the hub. It is the center. Amen. Of the kingdom. Oh, that Christ instituted and gave forth and set forth. Amen. That the Father gave him. Oh, that he came and Daniel saw him come to the Ancient of Days. Oh, and received a kingdom. Oh, in God's mind, in God's purpose, it was so ordained and it came into actuality. It came into fruition. Amen. When Jesus came to this earth, amen, and did the will of the Father and taught his disciples, praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Oh, and so I hope you see and understand this morning. Amen. When we're talking about the house of the Lord. Amen. We're talking about, amen, the spiritual experience. We're talking about that which the Lord has established, that which he has ordained, just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. There when he passed through the coast of Caesarea Philippi, yes, his disciples saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They gave different answers. But Jesus said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And of course it was Simon Peter that answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Notice what the Lord did say. The Lord said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, the Father reveals the Son, and the Son reveals the Father. Yeah. Amen. Well, you'll have many scriptures that talk about that. The Son revealing the Father, and the Father revealing the Son. And they reveal one to the other, whichever the scripture is speaking, as it so pleases them. Amen. To do. And so, as the Father has revealed the blessedness unto babes, he has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Oh, but he's revealed it unto babes. He's revealed it unto the simple. Oh, he has revealed it unto those of his choosing to do so, to illuminate and to see the beauty of the house of the Lord. Oh, and the Lord said in verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I will build. I will build. Amen. In other words, I'm going to build a kingdom. I'm going to build the institution. Oh, I believe it was constituted on the banks of the Jordan River. Amen. As John, amen, preached the message of repentance and baptized them, confessing their sins in the Jordan, and came, and Jesus was baptized there, not for his benefit, amen, but for our benefit, for the benefit, amen, of his disciples that would follow after his example to do so. He has built the church. He has equipped the church. He has given the church what she so needs. He has given gifts unto the church. He has fully fulfilled and established and so furnished the gospel church, this kingdom that he has built. I will build my church. Now this is different from the elect family. Jesus did not and has not built the elect family. The elect were chosen and treasured in Christ. They were given to Christ. But this that we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about here, he said, I'll build it. I'll build it. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. We're not talking about the elect family. Amen. We're talking about, amen, those of the elect family. We're talking about that's where disciples are made from. Amen. Through the gospel and the gospel means of preaching, not the elect. Amen. But disciples. Jesus told the apostles to go and to make disciples of all men, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Amen. So, you can't make sheep, you can't make the elect, amen, but I tell you, you can equip, you can qualify, amen, the elect through the gospel, amen, to become, amen, to become. That's in the disciples, and that's in the same sense. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. That means manifested, shown forth to be God's children. Disciples. Disciples. Amen. Of the Lord. And who are going to be these that become and are manifested and shown forth to be disciples, to be subjects in the kingdom, in the gospel kingdom, in the gospel house of the Lord. Amen. It's those who have pressed. Amen. It's those through a way of obedience. It's those, amen, through receiving, by acknowledging, trusting in, cleaving to. Came into his own received him not, but as many as received him. Amen. We don't have to be afraid of those words. We don't have to be afraid of those verses. Why no? Why no? They harmonize. You got to divide them, and they square just right. Amen. Right along with God's word. God's elect are accepted in the beloved, and they'll be with God in glory. But disciples come through receiving the gospel, embracing the gospel, acknowledging the gospel, acting upon the gospel. Yeah. Amen. Disciples. Did Jesus not say that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Amen. Jesus clarified it, didn't he? That's just what we're saying. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. He didn't say, are you my elect, chosen in me before the foundation of the world indeed. No, you're disciples indeed.
Right.
You're loyal subjects of the gospel kingdom. Now, this, Isaiah and Micah, they said it pretty straight by divine inspiration. And I'm going to use what Micah said in chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. When it said this, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. This was prophetic. This was speaking of a future time And I tell you that that time came when Jesus Christ came to this earth and built his house of God. Did the Apostle Paul, did he not tell Timothy when he was speaking to him concerning him being, the Apostle Paul being delayed in coming unto him? I believe it's going to be there in, what is it, First Timothy chapter 3, I think. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, when the apostle said, starting verse 14, "These things write I unto thee." Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting with 14. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now, if there wasn't a house of God for him to behave in, then why is Paul worried about telling him how to behave in it? Oh, but there was a house of God already established. Timothy's second generation. He gave first in the church apostles. Timothy's second generation in this. This is on down the line some, if you please. And the church of God is established in a... And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe after the day of Pentecost, and then after the deacons was set forth in chapter 6... I believe you have the full consummation. You have the empowerment. You have the constitution on the banks of the Jordan. You have Christ furnishing, giving the church the apostles, setting her forth, giving the teachings and the instructions, the doctrine, the practice, the discipline, the order of the church, and through the apostles, you have the equipping of the church. In the first century there was thriving and in her heyday, if you please, fully moving and going forth empowered by the Spirit of God, because she was mature, she was given, she was steadfast, and would not be moved. And so the house of God was established. "So how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the pillar, that which upholds the ground, the very fundamental, the very level, the very foundation, the ground of Christ, the chief cornerstone. As he tells them in Ephesians, "And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." I place a lot of emphasis upon the apostles, the sent ones. I place a lot of emphasis upon that being the first office into the church. He gave first into the church apostles. Matter of fact, it is so strong, and this is a little side note, but I'll just run over there to this. It's on my mind, and I think I ought to give it to you. There in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 19, all right, after Jesus had said that "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell not prevailing against it, it's the same thing as Hebrews chapter 13, saying that it won't be moved. Yeah. Amen. See how that harmonizes right out. Amen. And then Ephesians 3 and 21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Yeah. Amen. So it will be here. The house of God is the last period. We're in the last period of time. Yeah. These 2,000 years. There won't be a period of time after this period of time. Jesus came in the last days of that former period. And that new period, there's a new period that was begun. And I can turn to two verses. I can turn to two different places and prove that, what I just said. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, after he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, in other words, it'll never be moved, he said, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Yeah. Who's he talking to? Now, we know that there is an order of people. that went off into the to another far ditch with this.
Yeah.
Along these lines. But maybe sometimes we get off too far on the other ditch and don't put as much emphasis upon it as should be. But I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. What does the keys represent? What does this signify? You know, John on the Isle of Patmos saw Christ and he said he had the keys to death and hell. That meant he had authority and power, right? I will give unto thee. Who is the thee? You see, they singular it out. Catholicism. I don't care to say their name, the Catholics. Amen. They singular it out and they just say it's Peter. Peter's the first pope. Peter wasn't nowhere near the first pope.
No.
No. He wasn't the last pope. There's no popery. God doesn't have a man as the high priest under the old economy, which they would liken him to and say then that there's a man called the Pope, which is God's vector here on earth. In other words, he stands as God on earth. And what he says is gospel. He can even change church law and canon and so forth. Don't matter what the scriptures say. And that's not just with them folks now. It's with a lot of their daughters. A lot of daughters of Babylon. That's saying, well, it don't matter what the Word of God says. We live in a new time. We live in a different age. We'll ordain women. We'll ordain sodomites. We'll have sodomites. We'll give them communion. On and on. I want to tell you, God's Word hadn't changed. What was an abomination then, it's an abomination now.
Amen.
God is God and He does not change. Those things is what I'm telling you, they're trying to build a new room on to the house of God.
Yeah.
Trying to build a new addition to the house of God. That don't work. God, through the apostles, laid it down. You know, Jesus taught them. He gave them commandments. The Apostle Paul was one that's born out of due season, due time. But yet he was in the Lord's school. Far as our apostle to the Gentiles. But these apostles, they were illuminated. They were enlightened. Them original apostles, they were with him there 3.5 years. And the scripture even says that after he had given them commandments, he was received up into a cloud and received up into heaven out of their sight. It was a continuation. It wasn't anything new he was trying to get in just before he left. It was just like Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. A rehearsal. A retelling. Amen. Of those things. Amen. The Lord was just affirming unto them His commandments, His teachings in the house of God. The new and living way, as Hebrews chapter 10 teaches, it's not a dead way under that old period of time, under that old economy, under that old Jerusalem, that hub, that center of worship. But now, as you've heard me say so many times now over these more than a little 2 years, amen, it's the new and living way. It is a lively service.
Yeah.
It ain't a dead service. It don't stink. Amen. It smells good.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a sweet smelling savor. Amen. Then ascends up unto the Lord when His people worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. This is talking about the gospel church, the kingdom of heaven here. It ain't talking about heaven and immortal glory. Oh no. You can't make that heaven immortal glory. So many people would make that, try to make that heaven immortal glory, but it won't fit. That won't work there. Oh no, they don't have that authority and that power in heaven's pure world. But they were given power and authority. They were given keys of authority. These apostles, not I give unto thee, not singling out Peter, but all those apostles, all the apostles. Amen. I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what did he give it to him for? And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I tell you, them apostles, amen, through the authority of Christ, they had the power to bind and to loose. They didn't do it arbitrarily. They didn't do it off the cusp. They didn't do it according to their own whims. But they were to bind and loose the disciples of Christ in accordance with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. With the order of the house of God that he had established. And that's why we hear the apostles in the letters and in their preaching and in the teaching. Amen. They reaffirmed and they taught what Jesus taught, and they bound the disciples of Christ to the way of Christ. It became known as the way. Yes. Amen. The way. You remember, I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. Amen. You remember Saul of Tarsus when he was going to Damascus, he had letters that whosoever he found in this way. Amen. In this way. What way? Amen. The way of Christ. Amen. That system. Amen. That house of God. That way of discipleship. Followers of Jesus Christ. Now, and I guess we're just going to get this introduced this morning, this segment of the house of God. But it's all right. I'm having a pretty good time with it right now. In Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. I want you to notice this language. Let's just start at the beginning. One verse above. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. What is this time past? It's that period of time. You see, the Old Testament period, that period from Moses. We could go back through and talk about from a historical standpoint those different periods. There was a period, that first period, and then others, and you had different events that were earth-moving, earth-shattering. Matter of fact, over in Hebrews chapter 13, those verses that I read to you before I read those last two verses, talks about a shaking and talks about that which remains and so forth. I want to tell you, these periods had within them the closing out of them and the starting of another. There were shakings and movings, amen, of God that took place. But here, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that era of time, of the prophets, that period of time. You know, even when Israel, after Moses, there was a period of time of Joshua. Then there was a period of time of judges. And then there was a period of time of kings and prophets. And then you had a period of time of no voice from God between Malachi and Matthew. And that was the beginning of the closing out of all of that order from Moses. But of course, they had so distorted it and so forth, it didn't even look like the house that God had given far as unto Moses. That Moses, as Hebrews chapter 3 talks about, where Moses was a son over his house. And he was faithful in his house that God gave him. Well, but I want to tell you, Moses' house, amen, it passed. And the house that they had so rearranged, that house and redone and reorganized and built on and tore off of. That was the one that Jesus said to that last generation of Jews, your house is left unto you desolate.
Yeah.
All right. But now, verse 2, listen here. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The last days, the closing out days, And just before, and that overlapping and that beginning of the new period of time, of the New Testament, of the new and living way, the gospel house of God, and Jerusalem not being a physical place, but being a spiritual place. Yeah. Representing a spiritual experience of the kingdom of God. They went to a physical place. Remember, I said this either last Sunday or the Sunday before. Remember the woman at the well, and she told Jesus, said, "Now, basically, you know, you as Jews, you say Jerusalem is the place you ought to worship. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say you ought to worship in Jerusalem. But what did Jesus say? Woman, I tell you, the hour is coming and is when the true worshipers will neither in this mountain or Jerusalem. But those that worship Him in spirit and in truth." It doesn't matter about the geographical place.
No.
Amen. It's the spiritual place. It's the spiritual experience of it. It's where the spiritual experience of the kingdom comes down in the assembly of God's people, of His disciples. Oh, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So there were some last days there. It was the last days of that closing out of that time. And then, of course, you read there in Acts chapter 2, which is real easy to understand, as the Apostle Peter is preaching, being filled with the Holy Ghost and under the anointing, and with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He says in Acts chapter 2, in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." So Peter says, this is that. There's no way to miss that. Underscore that. There's no way to mishandle this. The scripture is its own interpreter. What they were experiencing then and had just experienced here in Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days." Now that right there tells you when the last days of Joel's prophecy was. It was there in the closing out, just 7 to 10 days after the ascension of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost came. Peter is preaching from Joel. Joel had prophesied by inspiration and said it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days. What days? Those days. Peter said, this is that. Peter said, this is the days.
Yeah.
This is the days right here. Right here. You're living in them. You're witnessing them. This is that which Joel preached about, which Joel prophesied about.
Amen.
So we understand then that Christ set up and fulfilled what Micah was talking about there in Micah chapter 4. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. These last days that I'm telling you about, that we just read about in Hebrews chapter 1 and in Acts chapter 2. And then here that Micah says his last days. It was the last days of that old house of the Lord. And it was folded up.
Yeah.
It was laid aside like a garment. And Christ instituted and gave and built His church and established it. And it was foretold that it would be established where? That the mountain of the house of the Lord. First of all, the house of the Lord is seen as a mountain. It is seen as that which is high, that which is large, that which is exalted, that which is up.
Yeah. Amen.
That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains.
Yeah.
You had a singular mountain, which is the house of God. And then you got plural mountains. This singular mountain, house of God, will be established in the top of the mountains. In other words, it is the highest authority. It is the highest place. There is nothing any higher. There is no power. There is no law that is above. Remember the apostles when they were beaten, when they were imprisoned, they were commanded, when they were brought out not to speak or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they reminded them of that and told them that you don't preach in Jesus' name. And what was their response? What was their consensus? What was their conclusion? We all rather to obey God than man. And why would they come to such a conclusion? Because this mountain that I'm preaching to you about, this house of God, this spiritual experience of the kingdom of God, it is higher, it is above any civil authority. Yeah. Now, the Apostle Paul, he taught and he laid it down the middle of the road that the disciples of Christ would not get in the ditch. I'll tell you, if the civil law is what it ought to be, if you fulfill the law of Christ, if you have no other gods before you, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you treat others as you would want to be treated, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you're not going to be breaking good moral civil law. Because the law that we are adhering to, Christ's law, is the highest form.
Yeah.
But when man makes their way of carnal and Adamic laws and try to pull the disciples of Christ underneath that, it's just as the apostle said, we ought rather to obey God than men. When there is a conflict between God's law and man's law, then whose law should prevail? Should not God's law prevail? Should we not adhere to God's law? And then on the same token of right and dividing, we only desire to live a quiet and peaceable life. Not going and hunting trouble. Trouble's going to find you enough. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. All right, so we don't borrow from tomorrow, and we don't do things to try to invite trouble. But if trouble comes, if persecution comes, if whatever comes that is contrary to the law of Christ, we can't bow to the image. We can't bow to Baal. We can't bow to the great image in the plain. Oh, we're going to play the music one more time. And you got one more opportunity, and you need to bow down this time, or you're going into the fiery furnace. Well, they didn't bow, did they? They didn't bow. O King, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Why? We're going to do what God says. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, molten images, or any of these things. This thing that you've conjured up, it's a man's imagination. This image that you have stood up here, it can't talk, it can't walk. You've got to carry it around. It can't use his hands. It can't use his feet. We're serving the true and living God, and we're not going to bow to your law. And they did not bow.
No.
But their attitude was, God's able, whether he will or not, we don't know. But one thing we do know, he will deliver us out of thy hand.
Yeah.
In other words, live or die, sink or swim, we're the Lord's. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So it's in this that is the most high, that is the most uplifted, that is above all. And said, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Where is it that the word of the Lord is preached? Where is it that the word of the Lord is declared? I tell you, it's from the gospel church. Amen. Which is the ground, the pillar of the truth. His word goes forth. His word has been going forth. Amen. For some 2,000 years. The preaching, the declaring of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. There have been people of many nations and ethnic groups and places that have heard the gospel preached. There have been those through the centuries that have rejoiced in a Savior's love.
Yeah.
And of course, we know that it's in ebbs and flows. We know that it's been greater at times and it's been fewer at times. And yes, it seems like we live in a drought time. It seems like we're in the valley of Baca, that we're in a rough time as far as the gospel church. A great falling away and a great ceasing from the true commitment and dedication to the service of God, a forsaking of the holiness of God and the righteousness of God and the instruction of God's word, and just do whatever feels good, tastes good, looks good, whatever.
Amen.
But you see, I go back, just any old way, any old thing won't do. It's got to be, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. How amiable. How lovely. How pleasant. How beautiful. O Lord, are thy tabernacles. O Lord of hosts. I want to get in this morning, at least. I believe it's Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2 particularly. Psalm 48. Very, very familiar verse of Scripture. Once again, a song and psalm for the songs of Korah, the sons of Korah, for the people of God to sing. I don't know what the tune was that they sang these verses to, but they sang these. The apostle said, speak into yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. These two verses says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, his house. The way would be called holiness unto the Lord. It is a mountain of holiness. It is a mountain of righteousness, a mountain of purity. The gospel church, it is high and up and elevated. It ain't down in the carnal, beggarly elements of this world. You can't live in the ruts and in the mire of the world system. And I'm talking about live in the sense of living in agreement or living in participation with it, or living in the sense of condoning and so forth, and experience the spiritual experience of the house of God, because the mountain is a mountain, his house of holiness. It's a mountain of holiness. Even upon the bells and the horse bridles and all would be said, holiness unto the Lord. Oh, I know none of us rode a horse out here this morning and a bridle and so forth. We know that these are types and shadows and figurative language. It was written and spoken in such a way that people of that day and time would understand from that standpoint to their culture that they used. But nevertheless, just like the symbolic language, whenever Eli the priest fell and broke his neck when he got the word of the bad news and so forth. Don't have time to go into that. But his daughter-in-law giving birth, and the child that was born, Ichabod, meaning the glory of the Lord has departed. Because there was the capturing of the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. So there, that symbolic language, the glory of the Lord hath departed. But in the mountain of the house of God, where His people, His disciples, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, there is that which is written and says, holiness unto the Lord. Great is the Lord. Oh, wouldn't you have loved to have been there and heard them sing it? Wouldn't you love to have been there and heard them bellow it out? I don't know how it was. I don't know what tune they had. It could have been something along the line of, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, city of the great King. Now all I did was sing the words that was written right there in the Bible. I'd love to have heard them sing it. What a great joy, what a great shout. I believe when they sung it, the people shouted. Amen. The people shouted, the people rejoiced when they heard it bellowed forth, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And where were they praising Him? Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. It is a great city. Oh, a great King that we have. King of kings and Lord of lords is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beautiful for situation. Oh, how amiable, how lovely, how pleasant, how beautiful are thy tabernacles. Not talking about the physical building, but talking about, oh, the house that He's the Son over. He's the Son over His own house. Whose house are ye? Whose house are ye if ye hold forth? Oh, the rejoicing firm unto the end. If we hold fast these things that we rejoice in, oh, that the candlestick will be there. Oh, and we'll see the beauty. We'll see the loveliness of the house of the Lord. I'm going to stop there. There's a whole lot more. Many more things could be said. I pray the Lord would bless you this morning with these wonderful truths. I believe them to be the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus.